Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are listening all day long. But the question is, what are we listening to all day long? Immediately, my thoughts are, we listen to the TV at home, we listen to the radio in the car. If you're one of those, you're listening to videos on your phone. You may be listening for the phone to ring or listening to somebody who's talking on the phone to you. You may be listening to conversations that someone's having with you or conversations around you. But needless to say, we are listening to sounds that are happening all around us all day long. But then the question becomes, what kinds of things are we listening to? Are we listening to things that kind of make us go, ooh, I should not be listening to that? Are we listening to things that are putting us down or cutting into who we are? Are we listening to things that are making us question what we're doing or who we are? Or are we listening to things that are encouraging us? Are we listening to things that are building us up? Are we listening to things that help us to understand who we are? Are we listening to things that help confirm that we are in the right place? The question, less than what we're listening to, is how is it impacting us and our lives? So here we have listening that's happening here. And listening is very important in this story. As Moses comes upon the scene as an adult, and Moses is doing the job of his father-in-law has given him, and he's heading up the Mount of Horeb with the sheep of Jethro. And he's doing his job, and he's being a good shepherd, and he's up and along that walk, probably doing a lot of listening. You got to remember, he couldn't plug earphones in to listen to music while he spent hours taking the sheep on their walks. All he had were the sounds of nature and the sheep around him. But here he's on this job, and as he's walking along the path, what does he see? But one, he sees a bush that's on fire. And I don't know about you, but if I'm living in the desert and all of a sudden a bush is on fire, I'm going to panic, because a bush should not be on fire heading up a mountain in the desert. That's a pretty dangerous thing. But then upon closer look, he sees that this bush is on fire, but it's not on fire. It's covered in flames, but the branches and the leaves are not burning. And what does it say in Scripture? When he realizes that this bush is outside of the laws of nature, it says that Moses chose to turn aside and pay attention to this bush. Now, what does that mean? It means Moses, who had a job of going forward on this path and paying attention to the sheep to make sure that they were safe and where they were supposed to be, he allowed himself to be distracted by all those responsibilities and what he was supposed to be doing, and he turned his attention from those to this bush. And it says, when God realized that he had chosen to turn aside, when he had chosen to turn from his responsibilities to this bush that the angel had lit on fire, God begins to speak to Moses. Moses, Moses. And right then is when I would have peed my pants. No lie, if God started talking to me out of this bush, but Moses is better than I, and Moses says, here I am, right? God's speaking, I'm right here, what do you need, right? And this speaks something about Moses when he's at this point. All right, I'm hearing God's voice, and my answer is, here I am, what am I supposed to do? And God's first instruction is, take off your sandals, you're standing on holy ground. Remove what's on your feet, and show that this is a sacred space that you are on. And then he says, and now listen to what I have to say. It's a tough thing for us to do, to listen. Here God says, you do lots of talking, but now it's my turn. Think about how much of that we do. But here Moses is asked to pay attention. And God says, in this moment of listening, he says, I can feel the pain of my people. I know that they are oppressed. I know they've been turned into slaves. I know they are not treated right. I know that they are miserable, and I know they need to be saved, and I'm going to do just that. Well, okay, you want to save your people, my people? That's a great idea, God. I am so glad you're going to do that. And then God throws the curveball and says, Moses, you're going to be the one to lead them. And Moses is like 90% of human beings, because when God says, I need you to do this task, Moses' immediate response is, not me. Okay? If you don't believe this whole 90% of people, join the nominations committee that makes the phone calls and says, we'd like you to serve on a committee in the church. Because pretty much everybody's response is, I think there's somebody more qualified than me. I think there's somebody that has more time than me. I think there's somebody that could do a better job than me. But the reason those phone calls come is because there's a committee that knows that individual, that has recognized those gifts and skills, and see how they can benefit that committee and benefit the church as a whole. Just like God is seeing in Moses what's needed for this job. It's not by accident that Moses was passing this place and God took the first victim that came along. God knew Moses was the right person to do this job. God knew that Moses had the heart and the talent and the gifts to be able to lead his people. And so God waited for the right moment where he had Moses' attention to tell him, I've got a job for you, and you are the only one that can do it. But so often, we feel inadequate. For the rest of this chapter, and for half of the next chapter, it's Moses arguing about why he can't do this job. They won't respect me. They won't see me as a leader. I stutter. I don't have the voice. I don't have the gifts and skills, God. And God just over and over again says the same thing. But I will provide what you need. But I will be there with you. But I will give you the people around you that you need. I am the one that's driving this mission. I just need you to be the vehicle that I use. And one of Moses' big thing is, all right, but how will the people know that it's you? When I walk back down that mountain, when I walk down there and I go to the leader of the Israelites and I say, God talked to me through a burning bush that wasn't being consumed and told me that I'm going to lead you all out of slavery and back into a land of milk and honey, they're going to say, prove it. By telling us the name of God. God, what name am I going to give them? And God uses a simple two words. He says, I am. All you got to do is fill in the blank. I am God. I am the creator of the universe. I am the one who created you. I am the one who's always been with you. I am the one who will provide for you all that you need. I am the one who will send my son to rescue you. I am the one who put my son on a cross for you. I am the one that loves you unconditionally. It's a powerful thing to say those words, I am. Think about what you could say. I am a child of God. I am loved by God. I am filled with gifts by God. I am called by God to live with a purpose. I am always with God, and He is always with me. I am here for a reason. I am special and unique. I am wonderfully made. I am dot, dot, dot. Two powerful words to describe God, but also two powerful words that describe us. These are the powerful words God gives Moses to be able to lead a people, to stand up to Pharaoh, to do the biggest job there was at his time. And God looks at each of us, and he waits for us to have just that same moment where he can encounter us. Where is it that he can cause a miracle to be happening that distracts us from this world and the tasks and responsibilities that we have, to turn to the side and focus our attention on God so that he can speak to us, so that he can tell us what we're called to be and to do, so that he can remind us of the gifts that he has filled us with, so that he can tell us there's no task too big for us to do because he will be with us through it and will provide the support around us that we need. But it takes us willing to stop in our tracks, turn to the side, and focus our attention on God, and not to respond with excuses, not to point our finger at somebody else who might be better, but to listen to God's voice, to trust in his plan, and to be willing to fulfill it. Not all of us will be called to stand up to a Pharaoh, to perform 10 miracles, and to lead our people out to the promised land. Not all of us will be called to be kings and prophets. Not all of us will be called to be apostles. Not all of us will be called to be pastors or ministers. But so many are called to be nurses. So many called to be teachers. So many called to be administrators. So many called to be engineers and builders. So many called to be creative. So many called to be caring. So many called to be musical. So many called to be loving. So many called to be passionate. So many called to be God's child. Now, what does it take for us to hear that call and to embrace it? But it takes us listening to stop and pause in this incredibly busy world. In 1 Kings, Elijah is looking for that calling. He says, God, I got this big task that I'm doing, and I need to hear your voice. I need your reassurance. I need you to show me that you're there. And God tells him, all right, then go out to the edge of the cliff, and I will call you, and you will know that it's me. So Elijah heads out to the edge of that cliff, and he waits. And it says there's this violent earthquake. All of the earth shakes below Elijah. But God's voice isn't in the earthquake. It says after the earthquake, this violent wind comes through, and it's all around the mountain, swirling around Elijah. The greatest wind ever. But God's voice wasn't in the wind. And after the earth stops shaking, and the wind dies down, and that silence that follows, God's voice came in a small, quiet whisper. My last note: God might not be in the big and the obvious. God might not be filling his voice in the place that we expect it. But listen for that still, small voice, because that will be God reassuring you of his presence and his plan for you. My friends, will you pray with me? God Almighty, we give you thanks for your presence and for your voice that is calling us. We ask that you will help us to see that time when we need to be turning aside to focus our attention on you and to be able to listen for that still small voice to tell us just those words we need to remind us of who you are and who we are. For all of this, Lord, we give thanks and praise in your almighty name. Amen.